enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back. Get a good grip on your nerves. Where are we going? You'll find out when we get there.
Well, greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so glad that you are here. Got a good one for you today from the suspense program. The title of this play is Murder by an Expert. And this one aired July 24th of 1947. Enjoy.
Suspense. And now, Shenley brings you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A. Roma Wines, for your everyday enjoyment. Tonight, Roma Wines of Fresno, California bring you Miss Lynn Barry in Murder by an Expert. A suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Shenley by William Spear.
I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to hurt him, but I couldn't do it while he lay there sleeping so peacefully. He had to be awake when it happened. He had to be awake. Bob? Bob?
Hmm?
Bob, get up. Get up.
What's the matter? I haven't...
We have an audition.
What time is it?
20 minutes to 11.
An audition in the middle of the night?
There's a club over on 8th Street. Needs a dance team. Tabor just phoned me. Said to get over there right away.
I didn't hear any phone.
You were asleep.
He's awake, huh? All right. I'll get dressed. I suppose they want us to go on tonight. I'm not going to be much good. I think you could wait till morning, anyway.
That was step number one. While he was dressing, I stepped out to the payphone in the hall. I could hear him in the bathroom. I looked at the watch. I didn't have to rush. I had time, enough time.
Yes?
Hello, Jimmy?
Is that you, Edith?
Yes. Jimmy, we're battling again. I think this time it's the end. He's going to leave me.
No, that's silly. Is he there now?
Yes.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him.
He's in the bathroom. He wouldn't come to the phone for me anyway. Perhaps it's best we split up. I don't know.
No. Well, you're the best thing that ever happened to that kid brother of mine, and I won't let him do anything he'll be sorry for. I suppose I drop up there now and see him.
I don't know, Jimmy.
I'll be right over, kid. You just sit tight. Leave it to me. I've been managing that spoiled little brat for years. I'll be right up there.
Yes, Jimmy. Step number two. The big brother was going to step over and straighten everything out. I looked at the watch again. It was 10:45. He'd get there at 11. Just the time. Just the right time.
All right. Are we going or aren't we?
Oh, you got ready quickly.
Who was that on the phone?
Wrong number.
Yeah? Did you tell the wrong number? You couldn't go out with them tonight?
I said it was the wrong number.
I heard you.
You don't believe me?
You're going to get ready to go out, or aren't you?
I didn't like to have it that way, but that was how it had to be. Violent, angry. Like there'd been an argument. That was how it was going to have to look. He turned his back to me and started lifting our costumes into a little suitcase. I slid the knife into my hand. Cold. Even the wood handle was cold. What would the steel feel like to Bob? I came very close to him. He started to turn.
Where's your other...
And I jumped forward quickly and lost the knife somewhere in his throat. I hadn't meant to let the knife slip out of my hand that way. I stood quietly until he stopped writhing. Then I reached down and lifted the knife up and wiped the handle off. I had to do that. Then I dropped it again. For a moment, I watched the blood soaking across the rug. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I was fascinated by it. Then I snapped awake. I looked around the room. I don't know what for. I'd taken care of everything, but I looked anyway. And then I saw it. The little pocket watch that George had loaned me for the timing, because everything had to be timed right, just right. I must have put it down there when I did it. I slipped into my handbag, put on my hat and coat. It was 10 to 11. That was when he died. 10 minutes to 11.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Lynn Barry in Murder by an Expert. Roma Wines presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly 1 in 3 of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now, Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Lynn Barry as Edith Reed in Murder by an Expert, a play well calculated to keep you in suspense.
It was 10 minutes to 11 when I slipped out of the apartment. The timing had to be right, just right. That was when I'd killed him. 10 minutes to 11. I had to get away quickly now. It had to be the back stairs. I went down them as quickly as I could, my heart beating wildly. If anyone saw me, it was the end. I'd die in the chair for what I'd...
Now, please, I have to go down, please. Where's the elevator? Pinky wants to go down the stairs. Yes, Pinky? Oh, the elevator.
I was trembling violently when I hit the street. Nobody had seen me. Nobody had seen me. I lost myself in the Broadway crowd. But all of a sudden, I didn't want lights. I wanted quiet and shadows. I cut across the park. I passed the apartment house once. There was no one around. I came back and dove down the stairway marked service entrance. I walked through the cellar.
Edith. Edith, here, over here.
Oh, George.
I want to see you come in.
No one. I'm sure no one did. I'm sure.
Shh. Come on. Up the stairs here. I thought we might use a service elevator, but it's too risky. It's only one flight up.
I...
Steady enough. Corridor's clear. Come on, come on. There, it's all over. It's all over, dear.
Oh, George, hold me. I'm shivering so.
Well, it's all over, dear. It's all over now.
There were no more things to do now. No more steps to take cautiously, carefully. I was on the top of the ladder now, and I could reach out and pluck the stars right out of the sky. I had to stay up there. I had to stay up there. I wasn't nervous at all, Val. You'd have thought I'd been doing that sort of thing all my life.
You're wonderful, Edith.
All I remember is the blood on the carpet. It'll have to be cleaned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We will be happy now, won't we, Georgia?
Oh, that will be the police.
Oh, I'd forgotten. I was thinking it was all over.
It's just this little more. You feel up to it?
Oh, I'm all right, dear. I'll be fine. You'll see. I won't throw it all away now. Open the door.
Ms. Reed?
Yes?
We're from the police department, Ms. Reed.
The police department? What?
Well, Ms. Reed, your husband's had an accident.
Bob? Tell me. Tell me.
Stabbed, ma'am. He's dead.
Bob? But...
We'd like to have you come down to headquarters to identify him and...
Bob? Oh, no! No. I cried then. It was sort of a relief. I was tired and lost all of a sudden, and I cried real tears. I knew they would be impressed. I was crying because I was tired, and they would think I was crying because of Bob. And that was good. That was good. I thought we might go downtown in a police car. Instead, they had a cab waiting, and they were considerate, and they drove slowly. Only they drove slowly along Broadway, and I couldn't ask them not to. And I had to close my eyes to keep out the light, to hold down the memories. And that was good, too. They thought the pain I was having was grief over Bob.
He's in here, this door here. On the table here.
Just a lump under a white sheet. Just a long lump under a white sheet. All that was left of Bob. All that was left of the man who'd been my husband.
I'll have to take the sheet off his face now, Miss Reed.
Steady.
This your husband?
Yes. Yes, that's Bob.
Steady. That'll be all in here. You'll come with me. You'll come in here.
What?
It'll only be for a moment, I'm sure. This is Lieutenant Milgram in charge of the case. This is Miss Reed.
Oh, Miss Reed. Won't you sit over here?
Thank you.
I know you must be under a terrific strain, and I won't keep you any longer than I have to, Mrs. Reed. I'll make things as easy for you as I can.
He had no enemies. Was it robbery or...
No, I'm afraid it was no robbery.
But then what?
You went out tonight.
Yes.
Early?
Yes, at about 7. I don't know the exact time. Close to 7. The doorman would know.
As we asked him, he said 7. When did you return to your apartment?
I hadn't been home all night.
Where were you?
Well, she was at my place. You must know that. Your men picked us up there.
Huh?
Yes. Yes, she was with me. Oh, on business, I assure you. Mr. and Mrs. Reed were two of my dearest friends. I'm a dance director. I was working with them on a routine.
He had wanted me to say I'd been in another man's apartment. He'd wanted me to come right out and say it. Cops thought it was unnatural to be too good. They became suspicious if you were too good. There was a leaky water faucet that kept dripping somewhere in the room.
And you stayed in the apartment till now?
Yes, of course.
I see. What time did you get to Mr. Lee's apartment? Before you left your own place, Mrs. Reed, you asked a neighbor to go into your apartment at 11 o'clock and wake your husband up, didn't you?
Yes. Bob was supposed to come with me to Mr. Lee's, but he had a headache and said he would lie down for a while. Try to sleep it off and join us later. I asked Mrs. Ryan to drop in on him at 11 and wake him.
Uh-huh.
I knew he would sleep it out if I left him alone, and I did want to get this routine finished.
I see.
Mrs. Ryan didn't stab him.
No, Mrs. Ryan didn't stab him. She went in at 11, as you told her, and she found Mr. Reed lying on the rug and someone standing over him with a knife in his hand.
Who?
What?
Who?
Joe asked one of the boys to ring in, you know.
Yes, sir.
The timing had been perfect. Everything had gone well. I was aware that I wasn't shivering anymore. I was complete master of myself now. I had nothing to be afraid of now. Why, he'd even picked up the knife.
Peter. Oh, you just thank heaven.
Jimmy.
Peter, will you tell these guys what's what? They seem to be in some kind of a fog. They think I killed Bob. I don't know what's happening to me, but...
Easy.
You told me. He...
Yes, he's the fellow Mrs. Ryan found with a knife in his hand, his own hunting knife.
No, that's impossible. Bob was his brother. Jimmy, I know you didn't do it.
Well, of course I didn't do it. Tell him about the quarrel. Tell him about the phone call.
About the quarrel? The phone call.
Yeah, tell him that I was sort of a misfix-it for you two when things got out of hand. Tell him how I felt about Bob and you.
What quarrel, Jimmy? What phone call?
What quarrel? The one you had with tonight with Bob.
I?
What's the matter? Tell him about calling me up.
Jimmy, what are you talking about?
What am I talking about? You called me tonight in the apartment and said you and Bob were splitting up and... Well, why are you shaking your head?
I just don't know what you're talking about, Jimmy. Bob and I didn't quarrel. I didn't call anyone.
What time did the call come?
About 10:45, and around that, I said I'd be over and try and straighten things out.
Mrs. Reed was with you at the time?
What? Oh, yes, certainly.
Did you make any calls?
No, none.
Edith, for heaven's sake.
Was anybody with you when you got the call?
No, I was in bed.
It was your knife, wasn't it, Mac?
Oh, yes, but I don't know how it got to Bob's apartment. It was there when I got there. Bob was dead when I arrived.
You quarreled with your brother on occasion, didn't you?
Not quarreled. No, I was the older brother. I had to straighten him out once or twice.
Well, Mrs. Ryan says you often quarreled with him.
Oh, they weren't quarrels. Edith, she used to call up when things went wrong, and I'd hustle over and help out. I had a lot of influence with Bob. I tell you, Edith, you're kidding with me. Tell him how I felt about Bob. Go on, tell him. You killed him. You killed him, Edith.
I told you I loved him. I told you that the last time you asked me to leave him and go with you. I told you that the last time and the time before that,
Edith, you...
You mean he and your husband quarreled over you?
Yes,
Edith. Why, you don't know what you're saying.
You had to kill him. Love you. I hate you. I hate you. I'm hating you.
She's crazy. You're lying.
Take him away.
Edith! I did it well. I did it superbly. I was sorry for Jimmy, but he didn't count, really. It was him or me. I was after happiness, and nobody was going to stand in my way. Nobody. Nobody. They drove me home in a police car. George went home alone. I suddenly remembered I hadn't a chance to give him back his watch. It was a foolish little thought to have now.
The night air will make you feel better. Cool, you know.
Yes.
Your husband was a fairly wealthy man, wasn't he?
I don't know. Yes, I suppose he was.
Didn't use much of it, did he? Why?
Well, he wanted to be a great dancer. Show business was in his blood.
Oh.
He said he was going to become as great as Astaire or Bolger or Kelly. Oh. He was going to do it the way they did it, the hard way. He wasn't going to buy success. He insisted we live on our club earnings and ignore the other...
I see. Well, you'll be quite a wealthy woman now.
I don't want to think about it.
Here we are, Chief.
Good night, Mrs. Reed. Oh, it's almost 2:00. Good morning, Mrs. Reed.
Good morning.
Want me to see you in?
No, I'll be all right. Thank you for everything.
Oh, good evening, ma'am.
Hello, Joseph. 6, please.
I'm sorry
Thank
about
you,
but...
Joseph.
You're not going to sleep up there, are you?
Yes, Joseph. There's nothing to be afraid of. When you love someone the way I love Bob, it...
Oh, yeah, I understand, ma'am. You're right. Well, here we are, ma'am.
Thank you, Joseph. Doorway for a moment before I snapped on the light. I thought I could smell the death in the air. They do in novels. But there was nothing. Nothing. I snapped the light on and closed the door. The police had cleaned the room nicely. There was only the spot on the rug. Only the blood on the rug. There was nothing here to be afraid of. No voices, no ghosts. I was tired. I needed sleep badly. I went into the bedroom and locked the door and tried to sleep. Can you be so tired that you can't sleep? Can't even force an eyelid down over your eye? Can you be that tired? In the blackness, in the quiet, They seem to be smothering me. And then I heard it. At first, I didn't know what it was. I wasn't frightened. I just didn't know what it was. George's watch, of course. The little pocket watch he's loaned me in my handbag on the bedside table. How silly. They sound so loud in an empty room at night. I snapped on the light. It wasn't that I was afraid. There was nothing to be afraid of, not really. But suddenly, I was just a lonely little girl. I didn't want quiet now. I wanted to hear voices, happy sounds, happy noises. I wanted George. I needed to be with him. I needed terribly to be with him now.
Yes?
George?
Oh, Edith. What's the matter?
I forgot to give you back your watch.
Oh, Edith, don't be silly. At a time like
this... I know. It isn't really that.
Well, what is it?
I've got to see you. I'm coming over.
No, wait, wait. At this hour, it's silly, Edith. It's dangerous.
I can't help it, darling. I've got to see you.
Now, wait a minute. Not here. There's a little place on 7th Avenue, an all-night lunch place near 40th. Village, I think it is.
Right away.
All right.
Empty when I got there, only a fat little man at the counter slicing some kind of meat. And then I saw George at the back at one of the few tables in the place. I ran back.
Edith, no. It's not smart.
I just want you to hold me. Hold me for a moment. I need you so
Edith,
much.
Please, the waiter.
Oh.
Stop trembling. You're trembling.
Yeah? I'll have beef, folks.
Two coffees, please. Do you want anything else, Edith?
Just you.
Huh?
I bought him tonight.
I don't get it. Just two coffees, please.
Sure. You're overbought.
Why? Because I said I'd bought you. When will we get married, dear? Soon?
You should be home sleeping.
I suppose we will have to wait a little while for appearances' sake, but set a date, dear, now. Go ahead.
Please, the waiter.
Two coffees.
Next month, perhaps. In June.
Edith, please, let's discuss this whole thing tomorrow in the sunlight. When things are normal.
In July, then. Sometime in July.
I...
What's the matter, George?
I...
When, then? I can wait, darling. I've waited this long.
Let's get out of here.
No. No, George. I'm not going to move until you answer me, George. When are you going to marry me?
Never. I'm not going to marry you.
You're joking. Don't joke with me, George.
I'm not going to marry you. Now, I don't want to tell you this now, but... Maybe it's better. Maybe the quicker we get things straight, the better.
Get things straight?
Please listen to me. Edith, you're a rich woman now. You've got a lot of money out of tonight. You got rid of him at a nice profit. So why not look at it as a good business deal and nothing else?
I don't understand.
A good business deal for both of us. We both took chances.
George, I don't...
I want half of what you inherit, the insurance and such. For my silence and my lies and my general help. I'm not in love with you, Edith. I never was. I needed the money.
There's someone else?
Yes.
There always was. Even while...
Yes.
Do you want to blackmail half of my money to finance you and someone else? A business deal. The whole thing was just a business deal.
Please.
That's very funny. Bob wouldn't give me a divorce, and even if he had, I'd have gotten no money. And you and I would have needed money to live on. So I killed him. All that terror and all that blood for a business deal. A business deal. It's very funny. It's really very funny. I got out of there somehow and back to the apartment. I knew what I was going to do. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I took the little watch out of my handbag, the little pocket watch that George had loaned me so that everything would go right. Just right. The little watch with his initials on it and the inscription from his father. I held it in my hand a moment, listening. Then I set the hands back to 10 minutes of 11. The exact time. The time he died. The time I killed him. Then I put the little watch down on the floor and ground it under my foot. I picked it up and listened. It was stopped. Broken and stopped. Stopped at 10 minutes to 11. Lieutenant Milgram, please. Lieutenant, this is Edith Reed. I lied to you, Lieutenant. George did it. We planned it together. Why am I telling you? Guilty conscience, I suppose. Oh, you can prove it all right. I found his watch under a corner of the carpet. It was broken during the struggle. Yes, it had stopped. At 10 minutes to 11. Yes, that was the time. 10 minutes to 11. To love someone as much as that. I wonder if the other one loved him that much. But he'll never know now. And I suppose he'll never forgive me. George will never forgive me.
Murder by an Expert, starring Lynn Berry, presented by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma, California Wines.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lynn Barry may soon be seen in the Eagle Lion production, Man from Texas. Tonight's suspense play was by John Shaw. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Jerome Cowan as star of Suspense. Produced and directed by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California.
Wonderful day to be boarding with you, Alan.
Well, it's the usual practice for a man to take his wife rowing in the park on Sunday, Martha.
I don't think we've ever been out this way before, Alan. Rather deserted here.
Yes, the nearest boats are at least half a mile away.
Alan, you sounded so strange just then. Is something wrong?
Don't worry, Martha. I'm completely well now. That accident to my head is quite healed.
Why do you always bring that up, Alan? I know there's nothing wrong with you.
I know that, my dear.
Alex, what are you doing? That oar?
Don't be melodramatic, Martha. I know what must be done.
Alex, sit down. You don't know what you're doing.
Well, I do. I do. You kept me back long enough. Now I'll be free! I tell you, Inspector, I can't figure it out. I've been a cop for 20 years, and I never ran up against a guy like this before.
Cool off, Ernie. You blow the badge off your chest. Take it easy and let me know what's happened so far.
Okay, Inspector, okay. About 3 hours ago, I got a call from the cop on duty at the park. It seemed that a dame fell out of the boat and drowned.
I'm in homicide, Bernie, not the accident bureau. Where do I fit in?
Well, I was just coming to that, Inspector. It seems that this guy is her husband, named Alec Blake. He was standing on the shore all the time the drowning was going on. Now, the peculiar thing is that he claimed he didn't hear her screaming or nothing. Yet some boats on the lake a half a mile away heard her scream.
I still don't see.
Here's the pitch. This guy says he's dead, but I say he's not. If we can prove he's not, Jeff, we got him cold. Personally, I think he pushed her in. He don't look like the grieving kind to me.
He claims he's deaf, eh? Hey, you!
That's no good, Inspector. I've been hollering my lungs out for an hour. His face don't move a muscle.
What's your name?
He wrote it out for me, but he won't say it. Say, what are you going to do with that chair, Inspector?
Just
going to
drop it behind him.
Nope. His face didn't twitch a nerve. I think he's on the level after all.
Wait till I shoot this gun off behind him.
Stone deaf, that's all. He's stone deaf.
It's strange that he's not a lip reader. Most deaf people are.
He wrote out for me that he's only been deaf a short time.
Short time's right. Ever since this afternoon, to be exact. I can prove he's not deaf.
How does the inspector know that Alec Blake is only feigning deafness? In just a moment, we'll return to our story, but first...
Blake was only putting it on, Inspector.
When he wasn't startled by the noise of the chair crashing to the floor. You see, Bunny, people who are really deaf perceive the noise through the conductivity of their bodies, the floor, the ground, or whatever object they're sitting on. Therefore, a really deaf man would have instinctively turned his head at the perception of that unexpected noise, while a man faking deafness would not, thinking he was not supposed to hear it. You hear me now, all right, Blake? The jail is the third door to the right.